The reading this morning is taken from Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. You'll find it on page 9 of the New Testament. Teaching about charity. Make certain you do not perform your religious duties in public so that people will see what you do. If you do these things publicly, you will not have any reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give something to a needy person, do not make a big show of it as the hypocrites do in the houses of worship and on the streets. They do it so that people will praise them. I assure you, they have already been paid in full. But when you help a needy person, do it in such a way that even your closest friend will not know about it. Then it will be a private matter, and your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand up and pray in the houses of worship and on the street corners, so that everyone will see them. I assure you that they have already been paid in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. Amen.
Well, I don't know what that water would have been like if those kettles hadn't gone in, because it was cold, was it not? Freezing. I've still got cold feet. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ellie, today you have promised to follow Jesus. You have entered the waters of baptism, and symbolically you have died with Christ and risen again into newness of life. And in being baptized, you've demonstrated your desire to continue to follow Jesus. It is, if you like, the day of your ordination. From this day forward, life is different. Your life is to be lived differently. Now here at Calm Baptist Church last year, we set out a vision and values statement. It was agreed by the church in the church meeting, but I suspect if I got church members here now and asked them one by one to tell me what were in our vision and values statement, they'd have a stab at it, but they probably couldn't remember. Yet the things that are written down are the things we believe in our hearts. They are the values that we wish to live by. However, you can tell somebody's true values by the way they act. They live out their values so people can see their actions and who and what they hold dear. And over the coming weeks leading up to Lent, we're going to be looking at a little book entitled Surprise the World, which sets out 5 habits that might help us to demonstrate our values to the world, might help our values to live. The book is written by a Baptist in Sydney, Australia. His name is Mike Frost, and has written a number of books. In one of his books, he told of this acronym, BELLS, BELLS. That he had started in a little church community in a beautiful place, Manly, on the outskirts of Sydney. And each letter stands for something. So B is for bless, E is for eat, L is for listen, L is for learn, and S is for sent. And behind each habit, there is a missional value of generosity and hospitality, of spirit-led, of Christ-like, and of being missional. But today we start with bless. deciding on the habit of blessing. What is blessing? Well, the word comes from the Old English word and comes from the pagan practice of sprinkling blood on something to hallow it. Hallow means to set apart for worship, to respect or to honour something or someone for holy use. Christians would do this by touching an object or a person and speaking over the object or person words of power, pronouncing good things. Sometimes that may have been shortened to just the sign of the cross or the sprinkling of water. They were unspoken prayers, but unspoken blessings still require the appropriate stuff going on in the mind when one is blessing. When we intend to bless someone, we are especially valuing them. When we bless, we focus on the person as being incredibly special and valuable. It is a feature of our faith that we consider every human being to be valuable regardless of their size, their colour, their gender, their lifestyle, their disability. And you all look very odd. When we intend to bless someone, we're especially valuing them. We partner with our trust in God as we give along with God. To be blessed means to be favored by God. It is the source of all blessing. The ancient Hebrews in the Old Testament show by their record of their habits what they believed about blessings. Blessings were given by people but really came from God as they expressed their faith in him. A blessing is more than imparting a wish on somebody that they experience something good from God. It is a partnering. It's also a prayer of faith and trust. It's acknowledging that God will bring it to pass. Many of us will know right at the beginning of our Bibles in the book of Genesis, we read that God started by creating and then God blessed. When God created human beings, so God created humans in his own image, an image of God, in his image he created them. Male and female he created them, and God blessed them. God made human creation, and it gave him something to bless. God created human beings because he wanted someone to bless. And then many of us will know the story of Noah and the flood. God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." God loves to bless. So he creates human beings in his image to both be blessees and blessers, to be able to give blessing to others. And then there's Abraham. God talks to Abraham and he said, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." Now the idea of blessing is that it begins with God. Then it's going to flow to you and to me, but it doesn't stop there. Through Abraham, through you and me, we become people who bless the entire earth. That's the way God intends to spread his blessing. God's plan is to give you a blessing so that you might be a blessing too. But it's important to note here that blessing is not the same as success, because blessing starts with God. It doesn't start with me. It's about God's grace. It's different from success because it is given to us so that we might bless the world. It's not about showing how blessed I am. Mark Buchanan writes about a group of children who were asked what love means, and love's connected with blessing. Rebecca, aged 8, said, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she could not bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does this for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too." That's a blessing. Billy H. Fore said, when somebody loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know your name is safe in their mouth. Isn't that lovely? That's a wonderful way of putting it. So in his little book, Surprise the World, Mike Frost suggests that we should bless three people every week. He suggests for those of us who are part of church life, that at least one of those people should be inside of the church and one of those people should be outside of the church. But to bless three people every week. But if we do it for our own praise, it's not really genuine blessing. It's no more than self-promotion. To bless is to add to a person's life, to be a giver. So how do we do it? Well, first we decide to love because God loves. Blessing is always going to be an expression of our love. Second, it's good to pray about it, to pray who and how. And here are just some suggestions. Words of affirmation are the simplest way to bless somebody. To send a note or an email or a text message. For all those people you think to yourself, oh, I should have done that ages ago and I haven't done it. Today's the day. You have the afternoon and this evening. Send that message. Send them some words of affirmation and encouragement. Let them know that you have noticed something worthwhile about them. It was Mark Twain who once said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. A word of encouragement like oxygen to the soul. It's beautiful. And when you encourage somebody, you need to have empathy. You need to see the world from another person's perspective. You need to learn about what is important to the other person. Then you can give real encouragement. Hearing those words, I love you, is important. But hearing the reasons behind that love sends your spirit skyward. So affirmation. Next is acts of kindness. There is a movement called random acts of kindness. I have a friend who's a minister. He and his family went to a restaurant. They had a very nice meal. And then he asked for the bill. And the waiter said, the people who sat in the table just over there, they paid your bill before they left. He didn't know who they were. Just a random act of kindness. It could be practical support. I know there are people in this congregation who do gardening for those people who can no longer do gardening. Or babysitting for couples who are finding it hard. Or helping people move house. These acts literally add strength to their arm. They lighten the load. In the AA, they have Just for Today cards, and they contain 9 daily promises to a recovering alcoholic. And one of them, they're required to do all of these to take part in the program. And the 5th promise is, I will do somebody a good turn, and I will not get found out. If anyone knows it, it doesn't count. I like that. I will do somebody a good turn and will not get found out. If anybody knows it, it doesn't count. It's a great principle. It emphasizes that it's not all about you doing it to get the praise. Exercise your soul and bless others by doing them a good turn this week. It will not only bless your soul, but it will provide assistance to another person and hopefully over time deepen your relationship with them. I don't know about you, but I like gifts. I once said that I liked a particular chocolate bar on a Sunday morning and then I was inundated with them. I went off them very quickly. The receiver of gifts thrives on the love and thoughtfulness and the effort behind the gift. You know those times when you receive a gift and you think nobody gave any thought to that? And those times when you receive sometimes the smallest of gifts, but you know there's been thought in it. The gift shows somebody that they're known, they're cared for, they're loved, they're valued. And at the heart of love is the spirit of giving. A gift is a symbol of that thought. Gifts come in all shapes and sizes. Some are expensive and some are free. Some are given for an obvious reason. Someone doing a shop for a family who have no money. But some gifts are just an expression of love that the other person's been thought about. Can vacuuming the floor be an expression of love? Yes, it can. Absolutely. Anything you do to ease the burden and responsibilities weighing down on a person will speak volumes. The words people long to hear from us often is, "Let me do that for you." It's worth remembering that God does not wait to give a blessing to those who deserve it, because none of us really deserve it. And we live in this world today where we're fearful of touch, and yet touch is so important. An appropriate hug, a pat on the back, holding hands, a thoughtful touch of the arm or the shoulder or the face. They can all be ways to show excitement and concern and care and love. Physical presence and accessibility are crucial, while neglect and abuse can be unforgivable and destructive. But in his little book, Mike Frost has a few words of caution. Blessing others will provide opportunities to share faith with them. But we need to be careful that we're not being generous friends merely to convert them. When new neighbours move into my street, I often go knock on their door and say, "Hello, I'm Sam. Just wanted to welcome you." And in the conversation, they ask me what I do. And all of a sudden, their face changes and they say, "I don't want to be converted." To which I say, "What makes you think I have the power to convert you? I've just come to say hi and welcome. And if you need anything, let me know." We're called to bless in order to bless the nations. Emperor Julian from the 4th century complained about the Christians. He complained about them feeding the poor, ministering to the dying, and practicing kindness towards all sorts of strangers. It was their open and honest lifestyle. It was habitual. He called them the Galileans, doing things with no sense of personal gain in mind. We all need to develop a rhythm of gift giving, of time spending, and affirmation. Because it fosters a spirit of generosity. It mirrors the character of God. And importantly, alerts others to his reign in the world. There's another caution. Successful blessing to that other person is that they feel blessed. You know those times when somebody thinks they're doing you a good turn and actually it's no good turn at all? The important thing is when you bless somebody that they feel blessed. Our action should add strength to their arm. Giving gifts because you want something in return leaves a nasty taste in other people's mouths. Paul put it like this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." I was challenged the other day about my motives. A family had 33p in the bank and no food in the cupboard. So I took them shopping. I know they were embarrassed by the fact that I took them shopping, but they had nothing to eat. And then when I had got them home and we'd unloaded the stuff, Mum looked at me and she said, "Do you feel better now?" It was a real challenge for me as to what were my real motives for helping out. Did I do it because I wanted the praise and the satisfaction? Or did I do it because, out of love that God shows for them, I wanted to show that love? So Ellie, as you embark on this journey, I want to encourage you, first and foremost, to bless people. And all of us here, 3 people a week. So 3 people this week, 3 people the week after. At least one of them whom is a member of the church. And then maybe we will start to demonstrate something of the character of God. Next week we look at eating. I look forward to that. Let's have a moment of quiet.